This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com.
A couple things. I got some very sad news to report, at least, you know, for some of us. I guess Shelby County Schools, they have this new plan where they're going to build some new schools, combine some others, and close some. Mm-hmm. One of those schools that's closing, that they're proposing to close, is Shady Grove Elementary.
Man.
Which is where I attended. I attended Shady Grove Elementary, and I won the fifth grade spelling bee at Shady Grove Elementary. And, you know, it's always like, it's just like, it's a weird feeling because it's like, you know, that's like your where you went. You know, like if they close White Station High School tomorrow, I'd be like, oh my God. Like that's, you know, that's, I did a lot of things in there, had a lot of memories in there, you know?
Yep.
Had a lot of, you know, unbelievable fashion statements in there that they still have, hallowed halls, still felt to this day. But Shady Grove is indeed going to, it sounds like, we'll see what happens at the board meeting or whatever, close down. And if you can't tell, this is a truly tragic day in my life.
I heard that they wanted to put a plaque with your name on it at White Station up in the boys' bathroom.
Oh, is that what you heard?
Yep.
Is that the same source that told you that there was a Gary Parrish Field at Horn Lake?
They said they want to invite you back, right? And they're gonna.
Now, why would they put the plaque in the bathroom?
It's the only best place they thought it should go.
No.
Hopefully to inspire.
No, I don't think that's what happens. I don't think that's where it goes.
No, that's where you did a lot of your hanging out.
I think it was in the bathroom. I think it goes in the front of the building.
But he wasn't just doing that in there, Brian.
I think it goes in the front of the building. That's what I think it does.
Okay.
Are you allowed on campus now?
Oh, yeah. That's
for, like, Kathy Bates and some of the greats.
Yes.
White Station graduates kind of go in the front.
Absolutely.
We got a nice spot cleaned up for you real nice in the boys' bathroom.
I want to
put a nice John Martin was here.
I want to come
back. It's in the John, of course.
Yeah. I want to come back. I want to go to Shady Grove before it closes. I want to take one last tour, man. You know what I mean? Those are cherished formative years, man.
No, there's a lot of Shady Grove graduates around here, so I'm sure there's a lot of people right now feeling what you're feeling.
Well, yeah.
There
are probably people who are listening who have kids, right? They go to Shady Grove.
100%.
Yeah,
100%. I'm feeling a certain kind of way because the Grizzlies are pouring money into my old elementary school, Roselle Elementary, is coming back, helping renovate the place, bringing it back.
Save Shady Grove, bro.
Shady Grove doesn't look like it's going to be saved.
Jaron, why can't you throw a little bit of cash at Shady
Grove? He's already throwing $150 out there, bro. I don't know how much
he's
more
spending
you want.
A lot of money.
Why you be spending Jaron's cash?
Oh, well, anybody.
Bro.
Fine. Whoever. Like, Jaron just got the money. That's why we're spending his.
Oh, start a Save Shady Grove GoFundMe.
There you go.
With your name on it, it might go somewhere.
You're going to fund it.
Now, I guess it's a matter of enrollment and, like, because
it's got to be. Yeah, then there must not be anybody there, enough people there to keep the lights on, John.
They're going to, everybody.
They're another school.
Everybody that's zoned, as they say, for Shady Grove is going to combine into White Station Elementary.
White Station Elementary? Yeah.
I did go to White Station Middle, so that makes total sense.
Now, who was your favorite teacher at Shady Grove before we move on here?
You know what? Miss Helms, sixth grade.
Why?
Because on Fridays, she let us do, like, she used to let us do, like, skits. We used to just get to BS around for, like, an hour. You know what I mean?
A little skit?
Yeah, like, she let, like, Saturday Night Live was going on in that thing, bro. Yeah. And I was always, like, when I walked up, it's like, oh, buddy, here he comes. What's he got next?
A regular Adam Sandler.
What's he got up his sleeve next?
A true talent.
Right, and it was then that I discovered my love for the theater of the mind.
Thespian.
You know what I'm saying? And basically, that's what I do ever. I don't prepare for this show whatsoever. I just show up.
You got an MS and BS, don't you?
100%. That's exactly right. And that's how, when people try to do that to me, you can't. You can't. Because I invented what you're doing. I started doing it way before you even considered it. You know what I'm saying?
Sad it'll be no more little John Martins coming out of Shady Grove. Mm.
Now, what I'm hoping happens is that the Tigers are inspired by the closure. There's another elementary that the school is closing down as well.
Good turn.
It's not as important to me as Shady Grove. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hoping is they rally around this moment. A local Memphis elementary school is closing down soon. You know, use this as a route. We tried everything else. You know what I'm saying? Every other means has been exhausted. So we have to try to find other avenues. Mm-hmm. So use this to inspire you tomorrow night in a marquee game, in
this
a marquee
is
matchup.
Very important game.
It's not Houston, right?
Right.
But it's right underneath in terms of what you have to do and the opportunity it presents.
I mean, that's the thing about it is how much longer are you going to wait? You know, you're sitting here looking at Houston's now 5-0 in the conference. SMU is 4-1. They're right there at the top, and if you lose this home game, you know you really, frankly don't want to even think about it. Where you would be then, what we would have to be telling ourselves then, in terms of what this team would have to do. Frankly, you do that, you're going to be in a position pretty soon. It's kind of like we were talking about with Giannotto, where maybe you're not even talking about having to win the tournament in 3 games in 3 days. You're talking about 4 in 4 days,
right?
Which just doesn't happen.
It doesn't
okay,
happen.
And it's probably not going to happen for a team that's lacked consistency all year long. You know, the odds that you get hot for 4 and all of a sudden you're this brand-new basketball team, the odds are low of that. And so you got to start somewhere. Unfortunately, it's against an SMU team that's playing some pretty good basketball and one that, frankly, is shooting the ball the best in the AAC from three-point range. You've struggled a little bit in terms of defending the line lately. Kendrick Davis,
he's the guy.
Is a guy who leads the conference in scoring over 20 points
per
game.
He's been there forever.
Look, in the past you could say, all right, here's the one thing, though, I know I can count on with Memphis. They are going to shut the other team's leading scorer down because the last 2 years they've been number 5 and number 1 in defensive efficiency. And Penny has always marked that guy and said, let's go take him out. That's been a struggle this year. It certainly hasn't been as effective a strategy. Part of that's because you're missing some guys, clearly. I mean, Memphis hasn't been able to press the way it wants to all that because it's shorthanded. But again, no one is going to feel sorry for you in a conference where Houston's basically playing
with seven right
now, too. You have got to get back to some form defensively, some form, former form of yourself to where you can limit a guy, keep him below his scoring average. And like we talked about with this one, Kendrick Davis, the point guard for SMU, coming in at 21.1. He does that in this game and controls it like that?
Yep.
Now you're probably looking at a chance where you're even more backed into a corner. You come out of this one. Because if Kendrick Davis can do what he wants, there's a good chance SMU's winning. So they got to get back, John, to as shorthanded as they are. Hopefully DeAndre Williams, you know, can get back and help them with that. You know, defensively, with whoever they've got out there, they got to try to find a way to mark Davis and hold him below his average. If he's comfortable, it's a good chance SMU's going to be comfortable all day long Thursday.
Yeah,
all night long.
So that is the significance of it. I mean, because we said this, you're running out of chances. SMU again, not as sexy as Houston, and they're not. I mean, they're not. Like, the committee is not going to say in March, well, you beat us.
Yeah, it's not about that.
But
yeah,
but
you're right.
It's salvaging what's left and maximizing what is left. And SMU is second in the league. I mean, they're the second-place team in the AAC. So it's not just about resume necessarily, too. It's about, like, you're trying to climb the ladder. And how do you do that? You're going to have to step over some folks, you know, kind of like the way you did, kind of get to where you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who
– doesn't apply to me.
There are some people who had their hands, you know, on the ladder, and what did you do? You stepped on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's what Memphis has to do, except they're on the other end this time.
I don't like that SMU leads the AAC in three-pointers made and percentage.
Right.
It's not a good – because you just haven't defended that line.
So how about this? Yeah, so
very well of late.
So last year – I actually looked this up today. Last year – and it's not going to sound like a huge jump, but it is when you think about it. Last year, Memphis' three-point defense only allowed 27% from three.
It's been fantastic.
Which is, like, horrible. Like, don't even take three, right? This year, it's at 34. So that's a huge jump. That's basically, you know what, 25 to 30% – increase year to year, year over year, in terms of 3-point percentage allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like 34% is a great number, but that's a bad average. That's a bad average to allow, especially when last year we saw that's how they really made their run, was defense. And it's just not there. It's not there this year. So you're going to have to find it. You're going to have to find
DeAndre it. DeAndre helps with defense.
Oh, yeah.
Can Alex Lomax help in a role on defense?
Yes, yes, yes.
Ain't that been the one, the thing that he does do relatively well?
Yes.
If you get some of these guys back, you know.
I think A-Lo has a spot, man. It's just not as big as, you know, we were having this conversation, Jeff and I were, you know, about why there hasn't been a middle ground with A-Lo. It's either he plays or he doesn't. He plays 30 minutes or he doesn't.
If Penny sees him and he's available, he's going to play him a lot. Right.
Anyway, we'll talk to Myron Metcalf about all of this, Memphis this season, what's gone wrong, can they fix it, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
360 layup is off the window and in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Myron Metcalf covers college basketball for ESPN. He's on Twitter at Metcalf by ESPN. He joins us now. Myron, it feels like every time we have you on, man, like it's somehow gotten worse for the Tigers. You know, it's like, it just like, not by like a great deal, but like just enough.
And we start with so much hope all the time.
Right? Yeah, man. It's rocky out there, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Is it how do you chart this Memphis basketball season? Like, do you think that the damage is done in regards to an at-large berth because of losing to East Carolina? Like, how would you characterize where Memphis sits today as a program and as a team?
Disappointing, you know? I mean, I think any time you add the pieces that they added in the offseason – with the pieces they were bringing back from last year's team, and you know that team had a lot of promise. You just expect things to come together, and they just haven't. There's obviously some on paper stuff that's happening that I don't know how you fix. Like, their turnover percentage, I think, is like 24%. I mean, if you're turning the ball over once every four trips up the floor, you're gonna be in trouble. And I think their free throw shooting percentage is like 64%. If you go look at, like, you know, the game they lost. Well, East Carolina, I think, what, they were 4-for-11 or something like that from the three-point line. I think against UCF, I think they were 6-for-18. You know, like, those are the kinds of things that really, really hurt a team. So some of the fundamentals are lacking. You've obviously had some guys missing, you know, DeAndre and Landers and Alex said that affects their depth. But I just think you thought that this was going to be a contending team, and now you're going, you know, they're going to need a miracle to get an at-large. Even if they went out, I don't think that would be a guarantee. I mean, it looks like they're going to go into the conference tournament needing to win it all to have a chance to dance.
So what's your general now that we're, you know, 3.5 in? And that's saying, to your point, there's still time. It feels like you're running out of time. But that you know, this team could get on a run. We know it's talented. But your just general view on Penny now in year four, because we came in saying, well, it's not just making tournament this year. You got talent to make a second weekend. You know, where would it be if Penny didn't make a tournament here year four from the national perspective?
It'd be one of the biggest disappointments in the country, you know? And you would feel like the only reason, if he still had support, it would be because of his name. I think that's where we're at with Penny. Mm. Like, the support he has is based on Penny. It's based on who he was at Memphis. It's based on who he was as an NBA player. So you get a lot of street cred just off that alone. And the truth is, I'm seeing a lot of Tubby-like things on the court with Penny, but nobody's talking about Penny the way they talked about Tubby. So the idea was that Penny was going to come in and be an upgrade. He was going to get these top players to stay home, to want to be a part of Memphis, and he's done that. I mean, he's obviously landed some big names, but I think you look at all of it and go, okay, but what did you do with all of that? I think it was clear, and we talked, you know, we started talking when Tubby was there. I think it was clear that Tubby wasn't the right fit for Memphis, right? I think a lot of people around the program would admit that. That's fair. But then you got to tell me what makes Penny certainly the right fit if they don't right this ship. Like, if they end this season and the struggles continue with those guys on the roster, it's hard to make a convincing argument, I think, that Penny is the right guy. But he's also Penny, so that's going to, you know, dictate how we talk about him. But I just think this is one of the more disappointing seasons that any coach is having in college basketball right now.
Well, I think you bring up some great points. I think on the court, if you just said blindly, like, whose team, you're like, yeah, you're right. Like, there are some things happening. Tubby Smith basketball was not great. This version of basketball is not great. Major difference, and I think two reasons that people are willing to be a little bit more patient. Most important, it's Penny, and we know what he means, the city and the university.
Name, just like you said.
Second thing is talent, right? Penny has recruited and assembled far more talent than Tubby did. So I think you are going to get more patience just because of that. But in terms of, like, what would you – is there a situation in the last few years or that you've been covering college basketball that this reminds you of? Because I think, like, at some point, like, hard discussions will have to be had if Memphis doesn't make the tournament this year. And I'm not saying it for next year, but that time could be approaching. Is there a situation this reminds you of?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, there are some elements of Shaka at Texas, I think. And even though, you know, Shaka was going to the tournament, he just wasn't going far enough, you know, not being competitive enough in the Big 12 for the people around that program who wanted that. But it's hard to compare Penny and Memphis to anybody, right?
It's just incredibly complicated.
Like even if you look at, like, Juwan Howard at Michigan, right? Like, that, the Fab Five is huge, you know, and what he meant to that school, and that's a big deal. And obviously they're struggling too. But, like, Juwan ain't from Detroit. You know, that's not his home base, right? Like, Memphis is Penny Hardaway. And for him to go through what he went through to be the all-star he was, to come back and sort of save the program, it's just a different thing. And you get Imani Bates and Jalen Duren, I think people would say, man, this is going to be it. And that's what people were saying. But it just hasn't come together. But again, the fundamental things are the things I'm not sure how you correct. Like, they have one of the highest turnover percentages in America. What's the solution there? Penny Hardaway is one of the greatest point guards we've ever seen. Like, if he can't fix that, then that's a challenge. A team that is not making free throws, doing some of the little things. So I think Penny has to prove that he can be a great coach down the stretch here. I mean, there's an opportunity to do it.
Yep.
If they turn this thing around and they get into the conference tournament and they win and they make a run, I think people would say, wow, Penny figured it out. So there's still time to do that, but he's running out of time to figure that out.
If last thing on Memphis, if it continues this way and Memphis misses the NCAA tournament, and then we know like you're going to have potentially a lot of turnover on the roster, and the IRP thing and is still hanging over the program, and you know, you stay on this sort of path as a program, is it one of those things where Memphis has a new president coming in? I don't think you want one of your first duties on the job is giving Penny Hardaway his pink slip. Do you just sort of wait? Do you have to wait on him to make a decision if you're Memphis?
I don't know. Just, again,
you know
that's
what I mean? Like, that's what I'm like. What do you
They're
do?
They're not firing Penny.
Well, like, what do you do?
You know that.
I mean, because
there's no pink slip.
But there's also a program that you have to think about as well.
Yeah, I just don't see a world where he gets fired.
No,
like,
sir.
I don't.
Right. No, sir.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I think if it really keeps going south, then it's sort of the idea of, you know, hey, Penny did his part in adding some big names to the program, but now he's decided to move on, that kind of thing. I don't see a world where he gets fired, but I also think it's just far more complicated than a typical situation where it's like, yeah, the president and AD go into a room and they say, this is our guy, this isn't our guy. I mean, there's going to be a whole lot of boosters who have a role in this. There's going to be a lot of voices involved, I think, in kind of what's next. And what I could see, honestly, is, you know, Penny maybe going into next season with this idea of, hey, there have been some changes. He kind of understands the situation, and now he knows he has to win now. But that would be hard, man. That would be a hard divorce, man. It would be like a divorce from the city almost.
Yeah.
You know, losing a guy like that. And I don't know that any team has ever really been through that in a long time.
Because he was a booster for you beforehand. The man gave him $1 million. He's got a Hall of Fame over on the campus named after him. To your point, it's not weird. Like firing another coach. This is a guy that was a big booster for you beforehand.
It'd be a lot. It's complex.
100%.
It's a complicated situation.
Well, like Georgetown, right? Like Georgetown, if they don't make the NCAA tournament last year, that's probably the conversation they would be having today, right? Right? With Patrick.
Yeah, about Patrick. But again, this is Georgetown if Patrick Ewing grew up in D.C.
Right.
No, right? You grew up in Boston, you know, in Jamaica. So this is Georgetown if Patrick Ewing was born and raised in D.C., you know? It was an AAU coach in D.C. and a high school coach in D.C. and a booster in D.C. And then he shows up to Georgetown as a head coach.
So
I honestly don't think you can compare Penny and Memphis to any situation in college basketball.
Besides Larry Finch.
Yeah, I mean,
Larry wasn't the booster.
Larry didn't have little Penny.
Right.
He didn't have little Penny, you know? Like, so it's just there's so many layers to Penny. That is its own situation.
If it got to that, Myron, and we're a long way from it to the point that you made, like Memphis ain't even coming close to that, but you would need Penny to understand, look, this is the best move for the – you would need him to buy into the I'm going to step down right to that point. But that's a lot of pride to swallow too, Myron. So to your point, it's so layered at this point. You know, even if you got there, I don't know exactly how it would come off. You were at that Maryland-Michigan game talking about Juwan Howard, and it seemed like a win that Michigan desperately needed, had lost three in a row. Just where's that at? Because we know, too, there's some equity built up with the run he had last year. I ask you this way. What's going on with Michigan sitting at 8-7 coming off a year in which they were, what, top 10 last year in offense and defense and everything was working so well?
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Dickinson being out obviously changed a lot. I mean, now he's back. They looked better with him last night. But Juwan's trying to figure it out, man. I mean, you go back to last year. They're one bucket away from beating UCLA. To me, if they beat UCLA, they're actually a more difficult matchup for Gonzaga because of the players they had. So maybe they win that game. And then maybe they go on to play Baylor. Maybe they win the national championship. So, you know, to go from that to this has just been a big disappointment. I think the Caleb Houston kid is good, not maybe as good as they thought. They got some moving parts. They're not as physical. I mean, last year had a really good team, and the talent level is different. But, you know, he's another guy who has some time to figure it out.
Right.
You know, they got to turn the corner pretty fast here. But, you know, he got a technical last night when they were up by 20 with, like, a minute left. I'm like, Juwan, what are you doing, man? Like, it's just you can see the frustration that has been built up around that program.
We're talking to Myron Metcalf, covers college basketball for ESPN. Gonzaga is technically number one, though Auburn got more votes. Are you buying Auburn as a true number one as a potential champion this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got it. They got all the pieces between Jabari and, you know, Wendell Green. I think they're a very, very good team, man. I think this tournament's going to come down a lot to matchups. I think there are a lot of good teams that can make a run, but Auburn's at the top, I think. I think they're playing great basketball. Like, if you had the tournament today, I'd pick Auburn, I think, to win it. Just so much versatility with that team. But I love what they're doing, man. I love Jabari.
You ever think you'd see an ACC, I suppose, maybe it's just me and Myron, that was this down? I mean, it is right now. You look at it, and maybe some will emerge. You know, with Miami, Florida State, whatever, to go with Duke and some others. But you look around, and some of those brand North Carolina, Virginia, down. This is not a good year. You remember a recent year where it's been this bad? And how many do you think end up being? How many do they get in the tournament? Do we end up back at 5-6 when it's all said and done? 7.
I mean, you know that committee wants to put 7 in there.
Always,
you know, they want to sneak in an extra 2 or 3, you know, into the field. But is it worthy of more than four teams?
Yeah, can you find them? Right.
You know,
right.
It doesn't feel that way. And to your point, it's the Virginia, the Carolinas, new coach, Hubert Davis there. It's those teams that you always kind of count on to be in the middle who just haven't been that good, you know. Duke's a good team, right? But we saw them, and they're still relying on a lot of young talent. So, now this has certainly been a down year for the ACC, which is just it's surprising, man. It's a weird year for college basketball.
Hubert going to be all right, Myron, at North Carolina?
Define all right. I mean, he's all right now.
You know what the expectations are there. They won't, you know, if it keeps going like this, it won't be too long that they're fine.
Yeah, Matt Doherty will tell you. But I think Hubert was handpicked by Roy. So it ain't like.
That's true.
I don't think we'll go into anything before year three.
Okay.
Before it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think Hubert is going to get a lot of time. They're not going to hire their first black coach and get rid of them. They're not going to do that. Hubert will get, I think, at least 3-4 years.
Yes, he should.
To really prove that he can do it. Yep. And he should. You're right.
Hey, Myra, man, I hope the next time we're able to have you on, we are talking about a run. Because there's a pall over the city of Memphis, you know, because it's Penny and it's this program and it hasn't gotten back to where everybody hoped it would. So there's a real air of, you know, sadness. So I hope by the time we have you on again, that is flipped. But appreciate the time as always.
Thank you, Myron, as always.
Hey, man, thank y'all. Y'all still got John Morant, though. Remember that.
That's right.
Very, very true.
That's right.
Trade for him.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Hey, appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Thank you.
I saw this meme on Twitter or something. It's Thanos. And it was like the Grizzlies are finally great. And then, like, his you know, the psychic or whatever was like, but what did it cost? And he says, the Tigers.
One day we will have them both at the top at the same time.
Yeah.
Or at least just contenders.
Yeah. Jalen Durant speaking to the media.
Yeah,
today.
I saw it where he was listed as the guy. It's good.
Yes.
I think the last guy was Tadarius Jacobs.
Yes.
After the game.
He was asked about Rasheed Wallace. He said he was a great mentor for the bigs for the short time he was here.
Oh, so it's done.
That brother gone.
Oh, no.
That brother gone.
Where'd he go? LeMoyne?
I guess he's
I wonder if they were even ready for Jalen to say that. I wonder if, you know, that got out of the bag.
So he's gone.
He was a great mentor for the bigs. Now, he could
more
be.
More dysfunction.
It could be a thing where he was like, he hasn't been with the team, so and he's just a freshman, so he doesn't know when the guy is coming back. So, you know,
while he was here.
Right.
For the short.
So
that man said for the short time he was here, bro. He characterized it as. It started grand opening, grand closing, fool.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
So he told it that Rasheed is gone.
Rasheed gone with that mask.
Jalen told it.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll come back. Wrap this thing up here on Wednesday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
JobsWithTheBest.com.
Rasheed. JobsWithTheBest.com.
Rasheed.
He's a consultant, John. Consultant.
Yeah, so,
he's still working technically.
Look, we have basically been dancing around this for weeks here on the show. but Rasheed Wallace is no longer an official assistant coach with the University of Memphis. Penny Hardaway confirming that today, saying that he is no longer with us in person in an in person capacity, and that he is now taking on a consultant's role. So when I hear Penny say that, of course, this is kind of what goes on in my head.
That brother gone.
Hey, so what was your favorite moment of the Rasheed Wallace era as an assistant coach at Memphis?
When he wore the mask. I don't know. Look, I do my understanding, and again, I haven't confirmed this, so I don't want to, you know, keep this on the radio show, but my understanding is that it is COVID-related.
Mm-hmm.
Is he ill? Is he super ill?
No, not in the sense of like he has it, but in the sense of like there are maybe, you know, certain things that he would have needed to do to remain in person, right? That he was not willing to do.
Protocol.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get vaccinated what I hear you say.
Because think about it, right? Memphis lost a game because
they
of Tennessee. Okay.
Now
they can't afford any slip-ups whatsoever at this point. There's got to be some standards.
I think,
right?
My understanding is that there was, a vaccine. I don't know if it was a mandate or, I'm totally not sure, but there was conversation about as a staff, as an entire program.
Right. I understand that.
Getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you want to make up games, right? You want to go get games and you want to not lose them.
Right.
Did Rasheed ever come out and say whether or not, or Penny, whether or not he was vaccinated or unvaccinated?
No, but he wore the mask.
But because
he's
he wore the mask,
yes.
okay. we all yes. went through along the yeah. assumption yes. that Rasheed is unvaccinated.
Yeah, you would think.
He is wearing the mask, the rest are not. So we're working yeah. along those premises. You could see where a team that's already been through something
yeah.
might have to say, okay, Rasheed, you got to do this or not.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this is not a situation. So,
this but the players that
no,
are unvaccinated.
No, this is important. This so is, that this is, isn't some okay, staff disagreement or chemistry issue.
This is not a deal where.
That's important.
You know, Penny and Sheed just had this, you know, disagreement
some
about
flashing
whatever.
Of, right,
if
right.
there was a disagreement, it was probably about the COVID vaccine. And so this is not a deal where I'm like she's like, man, if this is a disaster of a program, I'm throwing
that's
the deuces.
That's important to note.
It's a yeah. personal choice, right, that he had to make, and he made it. And this is what happens. It's unfortunate for the team, and it looks bad optically. And Penny can't really throw him under the bus like that, right? Like he didn't want to get back. Like Penny's not going to say that. But I think the in-person, he's in the health and safety protocols, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Penny was very careful to say he's not with us in person.
Right.
So you can sort of put two and two together there. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Gino and Jeffrey will be breaking all of that down next. Thanks, of course, to Myron Metcalf. Thanks to Brevin Knight. And thanks to Mark Gino for joining us on the show today. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis celebrates a legacy of sports in the Mid-South as flagship home of the Grizzlies and Tigers talk on the Odyssey app. Powered by DuckDuckGo. 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.